rumor that I hear. But anyway, and I tried to go into that, but the Lord was like, no, we got to have a little teaching. It's going to be a little teaching. It is Palm Sunday. Everybody knows that means we're going to slap hands today, right? Yeah. Slap hands. Palm Sunday. No, it's not what it means. The palms actually mean victory, right? They were used as a symbol of victory, and it goes all the way back. I mean, it goes way back yonder. In fact, if you find some Egyptian hieroglyphs, is that how you say that? You'll see the palm being represented over and over and over again. And why is that? Because it represents a victory. But before we get into that, I was reminded of a good joke yesterday. It's a good one. It's an oldie but goodie. What's the name of Darth Vader's wife? Elevator. Yes, elevator. Whoever said that. Yeah, Ella. Elevator. That's right, yeah. That was pretty good, yeah. Did I already tell you about the dogwood tree? How do you know if it's a dogwood tree? By the bark? Okay, yeah, I said that one. All right, cool. What do you call people who take care of chickens? You be quiet. A what? Chicken tenders. Oh, yeah. All right. I thought that one was hilarious. What did Snow White say while she was waiting for her pictures? What did Snow White say while she was waiting for her pictures? Someday my prince will come. Prince. P-R-I-N-T-S.
Thank you, Corey.
All right, you're dismissed. Good luck finding another church. No, I'm playing. That's it. And that's all I'm going to do. Anyway, the palm branches were used to symbolize victory. So today, technically, is us celebrating our victory. Victory. Victory in Jesus. Right? It's an old song, and a lot of people might get upset about it, but it's the truth. If you want true victory in your life, you better be finding you some Jesus. If you ain't got no Jesus, you ain't got no victory. I don't care how much you seem to have it going on. It don't matter. It don't matter to me how many cars you got. It don't matter to me how healthy you are. It don't matter to me how great everything seems to be in your life. If you don't have Jesus, you do not have victory. And I guarantee you, if you don't figure it out now, you'll figure it out in the next life. It's going to be hot, baby. It's going to be hot. Tough. But if you do got victory, hey, we got a big party coming up right now. Because what's going to happen is that all these mansions, who in here, you got victory. You know Jesus. Jesus, Lord and Savior of your life. Got a big old house. Got a big old house done, been built. Done, been built. 777 Streets of Gold, that's where I'm going to be at. We're going to have ribs. It's a party up there right now. If you read your Bible and read in Revelation, you find out that the angels are having a big party right now. Why are they partying so much? Because they see the victory that is found in Jesus right now. They see the fullness of it right now. They're having a big old party, and they don't understand why we're not happy. They're looking at us going, why ain't y'all happy? Y'all ought to be going crazy. You ought to be nuts. Why? Because victory can be found in Jesus. My Savior forever. Forever. You can learn something from Him every once in a while, but not often. Depends on how old it is. No, I'm playing. Let's do this. Let's go to Matthew 21 is where I'm going to go, Charles, first. Matthew 21, this is the day that Jesus did what they call the triumphal entry. This is the day that he entered in to Jerusalem. This today was him entering into the east gate of Jerusalem. And we're going to do a little bit of history here. And I'm going to go really, really, really fast. That clock is not working at all. I'm going to go really, really fast. And then we're going to kind of get back into worship because I feel like we've got some things to do. Let's see. Mr. Ken, can you turn on some more air, man? I'm burning up here, please. Sorry. If y'all are cold, I apologize. Triumphal entry. This is Matthew 21, verse 1. Whenever they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately when you find a donkey tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on it and set Jesus on top of them. Jesus didn't even climb up on there. They just picked him up and set him up there. Kind of like y'all do with those little baby Jesuses everybody's passing around now. You just kind of set Jesus on them. Anyway. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the palm trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Yeah, do y'all know what Hosanna means? Anybody here last year remember what Hosanna means? It means to save now. Their expectation was that Jesus was going to come rolling through the east gate. He's going to come rolling up on a donkey because the prophecy said that the Messiah is going to come in here on a donkey. He's going to come rolling up in here and it's going to get ignorant real quick. He is going to save us right now. Right now. We have been oppressed by the Roman rule. Pilate is acting ignorant. He's taxing us. He's taking our stuff. He's oppressing us. He's pushing. Today's the day. Hosanna, save right now. Here it come. Put some palm branches down. Throw your clothes down. It's time, y'all. It's time. Jesus then, if you keep on in there, Jesus then went into the temple. He rolled up in the temple, and y'all remember the story. He made him a little whip. Y'all remember that? He's made a little whip. What'd he do? He started flipping over tables and driving people out of there. Money changers, get out of here. Everybody was like, oh, here he comes. He gonna Hosanna. He gonna save right now. Watch him. Tables over and stuff. And then that was on Monday when he did that. On Tuesday, you know what he did on Tuesday? Tuesday, Holy Week. Tuesday, you know what he did? He taught the Word of God and the way the kingdom of God worked. He taught on the scriptures. He spoke about what we need to be doing, and everything he brought was peace, done in meekness. He was meek. He was peaceful. And they're like, all right, any day now, he gonna get ignorant and we gonna roll out this thing. Our king is here. Hosanna. Save now. Right now, Lord. It's today. Now. Are y'all with me? Yep. Y'all with me? That was Tuesday. Wednesday. You know what he done on Wednesday? He taught. He didn't fight. He didn't pull out no sword. He wasn't training the army to get ready to drive out the Romans as everyone expected. Save now, Lord! Save now! Hosanna! Let's get ignorant. No, he's teaching. He's teaching. He's teaching. By the way, Wednesday is called Spy Wednesday for those of you that are historians and like to know things about church lore. Spy Wednesday because this is also the day that Judas Iscariot made the deal to turn him in. Dang. You know what he did on Thursday? It's called Maundy Thursday. Did y'all know that? M-A-U-N-D-Y. Maundy Thursday. Anybody know what Maundy means? Maundy? Sounds like grandma's name, don't it? Maundy, get in here! Maundy Thursday. Maundy means mandate. It's brought from mandate, command. This is the day that he told the disciples that they shall love their neighbors as themselves. This is the one commandment that I give to you, that you love your neighbors as yourself. What's he doing? What's Jesus doing? He's still what? He's teaching. He's teaching. This is also the day of Passover. This is the day that He has what we'll have communion here shortly. This is the day that he has the Last Supper with his disciples, which is at the time that y'all remember that Judas put his bread in the cup with Jesus at the same time. And he said, who dips the same time me is going to be the one that's going to betray me. And Judas gets up and walks out. Jesus says, what you got to do? Go do it quickly. Turns him in. Same day. Love your neighbor as yourselves. What'd he do? He wouldn't turn him in. Save now. Save now. On day 6, which he didn't sleep that night, if you read the scriptures and pay attention, Jesus did not sleep. Thursday, excuse me. He stayed up all night. He asked his disciples, won't you come and pray with me? And they went and they prayed. He prayed for a minute. He come back. Guess what? They sleep. Wakes them up. What, you can't hang out an hour and just pray with me for an hour? He goes back. He comes back again. They still sleeping. He wakes them up again. What the heck? What's going on, guys? He goes back and prays the third time. Comes back and they're asleep. And they wake up when they hear him. And he said, the Son of God is being betrayed. And that's whenever Judas comes up to him and kisses him. And they arrest him. Take him in. Hosanna. Safe now. He goes through quite a bit of a mess that day. Everybody's seen the Passion of the Christ. It doesn't really depict exactly how horrifying the process was, but it gets us pretty close. I think Mel Gibson, whenever he made that movie, he did a fairly good job of getting us there. He got us close. And he's brought before Pilate. Everybody knows the part about Pilate. And Pilate says, Pilate said to him, look, the chief priest came and, let me back up. Where am I want to be at? This is, let's take them, Charles, to verse 15 of Matthew 27. Sorry, y'all. Got in front of myself a little bit. Now, at the feast of the governor, it was a custom to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, which was also the name of a fighter in The Best of the Best Part 2. Anyway, anybody know that movie from the 90s? Charles, my man, he knows what I'm talking about. Therefore, verse 17, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, hey, I have nothing to do with this just man, for I've suffered many dreams today, and because of him and stuff, just her stomach wasn't right, something ain't right. Verse 20, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, this is Pilate, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And the crowd cried out, who? Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, then what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? And they said, Hosanna. 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 These some of the same folks that was crying out on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, save now. It's finna get ignorant. It's about time. We're finna roll on it. And now God has not moved the way they suspected that he should. And they're wanting to crucify him. Get rid of him. How many of us in our lives, we go to God and expect God to do something? We go to church and we jump up and down. We scream and holler. We hear a message and everything's great. And we get figured up in our mind how Hosanna is going to take place. How save now is going to be. And just give us a few days and we're ready to crucify him. Just a couple of days and we're ready to throw him away. No, we don't want him. I'd like to have Barabbas, please. Fighter from the 90s. Let's go ahead and get him in here. Are y'all following what I'm stepping in here? Yeah. We want to throw away everything that we believe. We want to throw away who we are. We want to throw away everything that he said he would do because we don't realize that he's doing something spiritually instead of something in the natural. We're too busy looking at the natural that we're not paying attention to the spiritual transaction that's taking place. Charles, let's take them to the front of this thing. That was in, what was the first scripture I gave you? Exodus? Let's go to Exodus. Oh, my, my, my. Is this making sense, y'all? Ooh, golly. Exodus 12, verse 3. This is Moses getting some directives from God on how things going to work. All right? God's laying it down to Moses. Hey, man, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. That's where we're at in the story. And God said to Moses, said, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make or count the lamb. Now, what does that mean? That means that if everybody had a lamb that they were to raise for the Passover meal that was going to happen, there's a Passover coming. Israel is held up in Egypt. They wanting to get out of Egypt. God's done sent some plagues, okay? He sent a bunch of stuff. Got some water, had blood, it turned into blood. They had some frogs, right? They had some locusts, y'all remember? Egypt wouldn't let my people go. It didn't work. So God's like, all right, I'm going to smite the firstborn, every animal and human. Going to smite them, all of them. Everybody going to be rolled up in this thing. Figna come, it's going to happen. But Moses, call your congregation together. Get them all to get a lamb. That's perfect. Get a lamb. Every household gets a lamb. If the lamb is more than what the household can eat, then get them to share with the people next to them. Because I want this whole lamb completely gone, obliterated. I need my judgment will fall for your household and it will fall on that lamb and I need that whole thing gone. That's what's happening here. Y'all with me? Everybody good? I'm going through it kind of quick, but you know, if you went to Sunday school every once in a while, you kind of know the story. He says in verse 5 that your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Then we all know that they took the blood and they put it on the posts, right? They ate the lamb that night with the unleavened bread. They had to have some herbs, you know, that were kind of a little like, right? It wasn't like a great meal, but it was a meal nonetheless. And they took this lamb and slaughtered it, ate it. If there was anything left over, they had to burn it up. That night, death come rolling through. If you had the blood on the post of the house, he'd pass over. So therefore, that instituted the Passover meal, right? The lamb was taken and put in the house and held in the house on the 10th and slaughtered on the 14th. During those days, the lamb was to be examined to make sure that it was without blemish. Because sometimes you could look at an animal on the outside and the animal looks like, oh, it's okay on the outside. But then you like really pay attention to it and you find out that it's got some problems on the inside. Okay, so they were to examine it for those days to make sure that they were right in their selection of the lamb that was to be used because it had to be their absolute best. Now, Jesus, whenever he came through the triumphal entry and all the palms of Hosanna, y'all remember that part? That was right during the Passover time. The Passover meal happened on Thursday. God was presenting his lamb for inspection. See, God had already proved him out for 30 years prior to that. God had proven him out. God knew that he had the stuff to be the perfect lamb, the sacrifice for all mankind. He knew that. And after the 30th year, he presented him for 3 years after that to all the people. And all the people got to see through what he did, what he said. He would heal people. He would go. And all the people of Israel, the children of Israel, got to inspect the same lamb. And then he sent the lamb into Jerusalem for inspection by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the church, and by the Roman Empire. Everybody going to take a look at my lamb. And even Pilate himself said, I don't see any problem with this guy. Even Pilate said, I've looked at the lamb's good and ready for slaughter. Are y'all following me here? God is, in this time frame of Jesus' life, presenting his lamb for sacrifice, whom he says is without blemish and without spot, and is asking everyone to take a look if he is not doing what his word said he would do. And he presented his Passover lamb. Everybody with me? Isn't this fun? Isn't this fun? I don't want to get too much into the crucifixion because it, I'm going to do that next week. Okay, we're going to have a lot of talk about crucifixion next week in a little short period of time. The people who cried Hosanna did not realize that God was doing a spiritual transaction. But Jesus himself knew it. He knew it so much that at the Passover meal with his disciples, he instituted a new Passover meal. I'm giving to you a new covenant today. This is a new covenant, a new meal. And in this meal, there are two elements on the table. One is going to be my body, which will be broken for you. And if you read on, you find out that Pilate had him scourged. If you look, let's look down here in verse 28, after they released Barabbas, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him up to be crucified. During that scourge, Jesus was beaten, whipped. Go ahead and take him to Isaiah. Isaiah 53, I think is what it is. Put it right here so I wouldn't forget. Yeah, 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Sicknesses is the way that it's translated in Matthew in the New Testament. And if you go and look at this Hebrew word, sicknesses. Surely he bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, which is also translated in Matthew, pains. It's talking about our bodies here. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And what? By his stripes we are healed. Peter says later on, Peter says that by his stripes we were healed, because Peter was on the other side of the transaction. He was on the other side of the Passover. He was on the other side of the new institution of the meal. And Jesus said that night, Thursday night before he was taken up, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. In Psalms, and I don't have the reference, it just popped to me. In Psalms, there's a reference that the children of Israel, whenever they were taken out of Egypt, that there was no lame among them. Anything in their bodies after that Passover meal, after they ate that lamb. And in fact, if you remember, I didn't say this earlier, if you remember, they were told to eat it standing up, having their clothes on, girded up, ready for travel, and their shoes on their feet. Because they were getting the heck out of all the mess now. Hosanna was happening, but there was a transaction that needed to take place in the spirit first for that Hosanna, that save now, to happen. So get your clothes on and act like you're ready to see yourself move on from where you are. And not only am I going to take you out of where you are, I'm going to take you out whole with nothing missing and nothing broken, which is called peace. I'm going to take you out way better than you went in. There was no feeble among them. Why? Because it was a picture of the scourging of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a picture of by his stripes we are healed. And then Jesus took a cup. And he said with the cup, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood, which is shed for you. And on that cross, he shed his blood. Interesting fact, there was a sacrifice in the synagogue that was called the Tamid, T-A-M-I-D, which means standing offering. It was Tamid offering, which is the standing offering. Every day at 9 a.m. and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the altar would have a lamb sacrificed. Every day, every year, all year long. It was a standing sacrifice that was always there. And on Friday, which we'll get into it more probably next week, on Friday, he climbed up on that cross at 9. And he was done by 3. So that God could keep his word and keep his law and make the sacrifice perfect in every way. What God did for us is far beyond just calling it Palm Sunday. God not only sacrificed Jesus, but sacrificed Jesus in the way that he said that we would have to sacrifice to maintain, that the children of Israel would have to maintain that atonement on up to that point. He did it exactly the way it needed to be done. Every way of it, perfect. Save now. Save now. Hosanna in the highest, save now. It's done, folks. It is done. We look back. We don't have to look forward to it anymore. Isaiah was looking forward. Peter was looking back. Peter said, by his stripes, we were healed. It's already been done. We look back upon it. Everything we do from this point now is spiritual. This is a spiritual transaction that we find ourselves in. It's a spiritual state in which we find ourselves in. Everything is done in the Spirit first. It has to happen in the Spirit before it can manifest itself in the physical. I don't care what it is. The hat that Logan's wearing right now, in the Spirit, it was created in the Spirit first, and somebody got the idea and made it. Everything we see, touch, and feel comes from the Spirit. Don't let your Hosanna turn into a crucify him just because you don't understand the spiritual transaction. Let the Spirit of God work in your life. Let the Holy Ghost work in your life. Don't take something that seems to be silly in church and try to discount it whenever it is completely supernatural in nature. There's sickness and disease running all through us. I don't know anybody in here that's not coughing, snorting, something. I mean, stomachs. We're going to take communion. Let's go ahead and start talking about communion. We're going to take communion. I'll get to it. We're going to take communion. There's going to be two elements on that table. One of them being, I believe, do we have real wine? Dang. I told them to get real wine, I promise. Will wine. Don't get Will wine. No, I'm playing. It's some grape juice. It represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for you for the remissions of your sin. The second item on the table is going to be did we do real bread or did we do them little oyster crackers? Little oyster crackers. For those of you that were not here, how long ago was that? 6 months ago? About 6 months ago, we had a little communion up here. And this is how, I mean, the stuff on the table represents something, but what the stuff is doesn't really matter that much. And I wanted to do communion. We didn't have none of the communion stuff. You know, you got to have the stuff to do the communion. I didn't do that. So Miss Jessica, we had apple juice and Cheez-Its from the food pantry. Probably the best communion I've ever had I remember that thing, boy. There was some healing took place that day. There were some people that got it right with the Lord that day. That's what's going to happen here. All this stuff on the table, it doesn't matter. It's time to do something spiritual, y'all. We finna do something spiritual. We're fixing to take part in the death, burial, resurrection, and scourging of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's victory, and eternal life found in it. Amen. Y'all ready? I know I am. I've been looking forward to it all morning. I can't wait to get that little oyster cracker and pop it in my mouth. All right, so if you want to go get your kids, now's the time. Stephen, can you guys come back up here? Miss Angel.